Did you miss me, guys? I'm joking. I'm joking. Obviously, I don't really care too much. I'm just here to do an informational podcast, which I spoke about on my Instagram stories, which quite a handful of people responded to and tried asking me loads of questions and stuff that I said I will answer through podcasts. I mean, I did answer them as well to them personally because they asked. But this is what this podcast is for. I'm kind of back. So, I mean, I've got more podcasts in the work. One including why I've been basically AWOL for 4 months. But that's a different subject. That's a different time, different conversation. Basically, this one is all about the rules and regulations for traveling from the UK to Paris, and obviously the stuff happening in Disneyland Paris itself, because there's obviously COVID regulations going on there. So I'm going to kind of break this down into four sections. So I'm going to try and do pre-travel, so obviously all the documentation that you actually need and stuff ready for departure. The actual traveling on a plane, kind of flu. I know a lot of people have been driving over there, or they've got Eurostar, but Eurostar's now stopping until March, I believe, trains. So flight is probably going to be the main way that people will go in the next couple months. But yeah, I'm going to talk about obviously what happens on the day of flying, how the flight is and stuff. Then the third part will be obviously stuff that's happened in Disney. All the rules and stuff they've got out at Disneyland Paris, and my thoughts on them, because there is quite a bit to go through. Well, not a bit, but it's like there's just some stuff that I feel I need to point out. And then obviously number four, yeah. It's been a long day, guys. I've been at work. Now I'm recording this at like 10:30 at night. But yeah. Number four will be obviously preparing to come back to the UK, and then what you need to do when you're back in the UK. Because there is actually stuff that you need to do as well. Funny enough. But yeah, here we go. I'm going to try and keep this as short as possible because I'm pretty tired. But I only wanted to do this basically now, because I know there's a couple of people that's contacting me on Instagram are pretty much going in the next 2 weeks or so, and then some are going next month, and then obviously November as well. So I wanted to try and get this out as soon as possible so that you know how to prepare and what to prepare for. But yeah, so I'm kind of back for a bit just to do this. Hopefully get this out as soon as I'm done. So it should be out today, the recording of it, 15th of September. I came back on the 10th of September, so I've been back 5 days. So it's still pretty fresh in my head. But yeah, here we go. Please bear with me. I'll probably be talking a lot and like jibber jabber at some point, because like I said, I'm tired. It's been a long day. But I'm here for you guys. I'm here for you, all you loyal listeners, maybe even new listeners, depending on the title of this podcast, which I don't know what I'm even actually going to call it. Who knows? You know as well as I do that here I like to wing stuff. I don't edit anything. I just talk and talk and talk, 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 talk. But yes, here we go. I'm back, sort of. Anyway, chill. God, I have missed that warm-up sound. Because that's what it's actually called, warm-up transition. It's just a band warming up. But it just sounds really cool, doesn't it? And if you're a Disney fan, which I assume you are, listening to this, it kind of sounds similar to the... If you've ever been to Florida, Muppet Vision 3D, it sounds similar to the penguins just before they warm up before the 3D film comes on. That's why I use it. That's why I think it's funny. That's why I'll always love it. Anyway, let's get on to it. So. Right. So France is now on the amber list for travel from the UK. Which basically means if you're double vaxxed, you don't need to do a PCR test to go, to leave the country. You don't need one. Don't believe what people put on the internet. You do not need a test. You only need a negative test if you've only had one vaccination or you've not been vaccinated. You just need the proof of the negative test, which you should have an email or certificate or something like that, I suppose, telling you that you obviously tested negative. It has to be at least 48 hours before you fly. This is what I'm led to believe, because obviously I'm double vaccinated. I did not need a negative PCR test. All you will need is a health pass or a COVID pass, which you can get through the NHS website, or just search. It's best off just googling it, searching it on the internet, COVID health pass or NHS COVID pass, and then you gotta like go through it all, sign up and whatnot, and then it will appear on the screen telling you that you, when you've had both vaccinations and stuff. Then what you need to do is go download the QR code. That will then last 30 days from the day that you download it. The best option is to print it off, because it has both your vaccinations, plus it also has another QR code underneath if you've had COVID, and it tells you the date when you're basically cleared of COVID. It'll tell you the date. So basically your COVID pass, I'm going to call it health pass from now on, because that's what French people call it, is a health pass. So basically on this health pass, it's just like you got a QR code, which people will scan. I'll go into that in a bit. And then underneath, it tells you what vaccination you've had. There'll be two QR codes if you've had double vaccinations, and only one if you've had just the one. You need the second QR code. It'll all be on one sheet anyway, so what we did was just folded it up and then just had the one side showing. The one which says we've been the second vaccination. So yeah, it'll tell you which vaccine you've had, what date you had it, the batch number and code, and then also where you had it done. And then that's basically all the information it'll have under this QR code. But the main thing you need is the QR code itself. because they scan it literally pretty much everywhere you go when you get to Paris. But yeah, so just go online, search NHS COVID pass. That's what I search for. It should be the top one. I live in Wales, so I think I searched NHS Wales COVID pass. But I mean, I'm sure it'll just work if you just put NHS COVID pass. It should be pretty much the first one, or if not second one. Just obviously look at the website. As long as it's NHS, it's fine. But yeah, so get that, download that. It's 30 days from when you download it. I mean, you could keep it on your phone. I had it on my phone, screenshotted on my phone, as well as printed off and folded over to the side that has the second vaccination QR code. It was just a bit of a precaution, really, to have the paper and the phone, just in case, obviously, God forbid, you break your phone. And then you've got no backup, really. But then also, if you lose the paper version, then at least you've still got it on your phone. So, it was just one of them things. I like me and my parents, we all had the copy on our phone and the paper copy. We pretty much only needed the paper copy. I never once used it on my phone. We used the paper copy all the time. But, I mean, it's always that case of, like, you could lose the paper copy or you could break your phone or something like that. So it's just always better having one or two. You can, I believe, also contact NHS Direct, phoning them up and whatnot, and asking for them to send you a certificate, which I believe has a QR code on it. So they basically do all the printing off and stuff and then send it to your house. We never did that. We just did it all ourselves. Downloaded everything, printed it all off ourselves. Just so we had everything together, basically. So basically, that's all you pretty much need to go. The other thing I will say at this point was, whilst you're at Disney or wherever you're going in Paris, France, whatever, before you enter back to the UK, you need to do an antigen test, or it could be a PCR test. The antigen test was fine anyway, but you do need to do that 2 days before you fly back to the UK. So what we did was, my mum is part of an online, well, it's just a Facebook group that somebody set up for Brits who travel to Disneyland Paris. And somebody put on there about taking, ordering these tests online, because they were a hell of a lot cheaper, and using them abroad, and they work with the NHS. So we did that. I believe it's called C19 testing. If you search that on anything, again, it should be the first one up. If not, I'll leave the link in the description box so you can go check that out. But yeah, that cost £29 per test. So obviously there was three of us. We needed three, one each. So it was £29 each. Which is worked out, I say a lot cheaper, but it's not really a lot cheaper. I think if we had to do it at Disneyland Paris, I think it was something like €38 or €40-something. So it's like just a tiny bit cheaper. But I mean, if you order it before you go, then you get delivered to your house and then you just put them in your suitcase. And basically, they're just like a lateral flow test. You just do the swab You only have to do it up your nose, though, which was weird. Because, like, normal COVID test, obviously, you're supposed to put it in your throat and then up your nose. But this one, you only have to do up your nose and then put it in the little bottle of stuff and then obviously squirt it into one of them plastic trays. And then it's literally 15 minutes. It's just like a normal lateral flow if you've ever done one. It goes all purple, and then once it clears, there should be a line, or if, God forbid, you're positive, then there should be two lines. And then what you do then is, on the pack, well, basically, I'll go back into that more, obviously, whilst you're there. But, yeah, just search online, try and get the test before you go, because then you can put them in your suitcase. Then you don't have to worry too much about trying to get an appointment over there. I mean, there is a website where you, if you go onto Disneyland Paris's website, there is a link somewhere on there telling you where to go, and you have to book it, like book a time slot and pay for it over the internet. So you basically paid for it before you go in, sort of thing. I've seen how it's done over there. I've seen, like, some YouTubers talking about their experience of it. And basically, it just sounds like you're waiting around for, like, a good half hour before you actually get any sort of results and you're allowed to leave. This one that we did literally was, like I said, a lateral flow, and it was done in... Once we signed up and stuff, sent the tests off online, sent pictures off and stuff like that online to this place. It said it takes up to 4 hours to get a certificate through, but mine literally come through within half hour. So, and then that's what you need to prove to come home. Anyway, so yeah. So before you go, health pass, obviously you need, yeah, all your information, like, yeah, just your health pass, your passport, oh, and also you need to fill out a declaration form as well. So you need to go onto French government website and look for the, or just search on Google again, a French COVID declaration form or something that along them lines, and it will be on there. Basically, you just got to print that off and tick the boxes and sign it and whatnot. It's basically just to ask if you've had any symptoms or anything in the last 2 days before traveling and whatnot. Make sure you're basically clear of COVID. But yeah, you'll need that as well. So you need health pass and that, and obviously your passport. And then you go to the airport. I'm going to talk about the airport here because that is obviously how I got there, flew. So we went to the airport. We went from Bristol Airport. We went with EasyJet. I've never been with EasyJet before. But if you're going with EasyJet, I highly recommend paying the extra £12 or whatever it was for speedy boarding. Because we literally got into Bristol Airport and there was a massive queue for EasyJet because of all the places that they were travelling to on that day. It was a Monday. So, and then with speedy boarding, we literally, there's like two lanes. There's a normal lane and then around the little bend, there's a speedy boarding lane. We literally walked in there, showed the woman our boarding pass, which said speedy boarding on it. And yeah, we literally... She took us over to like this little desk, asked to see our health pass, the declaration forms, and obviously the passport and boarding pass, because we printed off the boarding pass before going to the airport. Because with speedy boarding, you can pick your seats. You get a 23 kilo bag or something like that, and then obviously... you go through just bag drop off when you get there. So I recommend printing off your boarding passes. I always do anyway, but and I see a lot of people having it on their phone, and I'm like, I just prefer having a paper copy just as a backup mainly, but so that you're not constantly getting out your phone or, you know, doing all that stuff. So yeah, we got through speedy boarding. We just showed her how to pass the declaration forms. She checked them all over, gave us a little sticker that said she's checked the documents and had that in the passport, which is key because obviously later on I'll tell you. And then we did the bag drop off, dropped them off, went through security, not as normal. Everything's pretty much normal in the airport. Everything apart from wearing masks, you have to wear a mask at all times. Wear a mask. You don't have to wear one outside the airport, but obviously as soon as you step foot inside the airport, mask on. Mask has got to stay on at all times. There is a little bit extra security here and there, double checking. Yes, you'll still see people walking around with it as a chin strap. God knows why. We've been living with masks for well over a year now. I don't know what's so hard about people not knowing that it goes over your bloody nose, but hey ho. People still wear it as a chin warmer every now and then. Until they see somebody of importance, then they'll flick it back up. But then as soon as they walk past, they'll flick back down. I don't really know what's so hard about it, guys. There's fucking... It's... Yeah, it just is what it is. But yeah, then you get to your gate. Everything is literally the normal, apart from obviously wearing a mask all the time. You get to your gate, obviously about to check on. So when we went through the speedy boarding line, there's two lines again. There's a regular line and the speedy boarding line. When you go through speedy boarding, I believe that most people had their stuff documents checked when they dropped their bags off at the beginning. Not everyone did, because there was some people that they were like asking to see the health pass and declaration forms there. There were some people that actually didn't even know that you needed to do a declaration form, so they were just handing them out to people that didn't know. There were some people there that was wearing their own masks, but to fly on the plane, they recommend the blue ones, what they called the surgical masks. They can be black as well, because I've seen some people having the black ones, but as long as they're like a surgical mask, then it's fine. So yeah, make sure you get surgical masks before you go. They expect you to wear them on the plane. You're not allowed to wear your own for some reason. Don't know why, but it is what it is. For us, because we had that sticker saying they've checked the documents, we just literally had to show a passport and scan our boarding pass. And then before we knew it, we was literally walking onto the plane, got in our seats. And it was all so quick and whatnot that it literally felt like we wasn't even in the airport for like 20 minutes. By the time we was there a good hour and 40 minutes before we were supposed to fly. But because everything went so fast, and obviously we went to WH Smith to get like meal deals and stuff to take on the plane like we always do. Because it's so early in the morning, we always get like a sandwich, crisp, and drink. Because we went through bag drop off, security, then we popped to WH Smith's. And then literally, it was about, we was probably hanging around in the actual main hub area for about 15, 20 minutes before they actually announced the gate number. And then by the time we got down to the gate, there was like a little queue, it wasn't too big. You're supposed to keep your distance, but nobody really was. But yeah, we flew through that queue, and then before we knew it, was on the plane, ready to pretty much go. And then, like I said, on the plane, you just got to make sure you're wearing the mask at all times, unless you're obviously drinking or eating. But they tell you over the, like, whilst they do all the security information that they do on the plane, that you're allowed to take your mask off whilst you eat and drink, but they expect you to put it straight back on as soon as you've finished. Like none of this, like, you know, chin strap shit. But yeah. So to me, the airport side of things, even though we was going to Bristol Airport, not Cardiff Airport, it was pretty anxious, anxiety stuff, because we've never actually been to that airport before, and it was obviously we've not flown obviously during the whole COVID pandemic. This was the first time in like 21 months, I think I worked out at, that we've actually been able to go outside the UK. So it was kind of like, ugh. We just wanted to make sure that we like had everything there ready. We had everything sorted. We double checked, triple checked everything at least like 3 or 4 days before we're due to go. Made sure we had everything printed off, everything that we needed. But yeah, as long as you got a health pass or a negative PCR test result and the COVID, what's it called, declaration form, as long as you got them two main things, then that's fine. That's all you pretty much need anyway. I would recommend obviously getting to the airport at least 2 hours before your flight. I think it's supposed to be 2 hours before your flight anyway, but obviously now, because you are supposed to be social distancing, you're supposed to be like 2 meters apart, but like I said, nobody really was in the lines, nobody was actually telling people to social distance. There's signs up everywhere, there's announcements made over tannoys all the time saying like, please keep your distance, but like I said, nobody really was. Not that it overly mattered as much to me personally, because I know that everyone there should have been tested negative or had double vaccinations. So in that sort of sense, it did feel pretty safe anyway. I know obviously stuff can still happen and whatnot, but yeah, it just, to me, it just felt kind of safe, because knowing that everyone has to show sort of that sort of documentation before they were allowed to fly. So I was perfectly fine. I mean, my parents seemed fine. My dad's always like a bit iffy with everything. He just worries about literally everything. Even whilst you're on your way to the airport, he like constantly asks a million questions, making sure that we've got everything and whatnot. But yeah, personally, it didn't feel any different in a way. Just that them few extra steps that were being taken with the documentations and stuff. So that's basically all I have to say about the flying side of things, the travel. So once you get to Paris, or wherever your destination may have been in France, obviously I'm going to talk about Paris. I went Disneyland Paris, and that's what this is mainly about. So once I got to Paris, obviously, now that we're not in the EU anymore, you do have to go through all passport side, which is a bit of a longer line. But I think it only worked out at like 25 minute wait in total, so it wasn't too bad. And we even flew to a new section of Charles de Gaulle Airport. If you've ever been to Charles de Gaulle, you know how massive it is. But this was like a new section, or a new terminal section. So there was only like two people on the passport border control, whatever you call it, passport control. There was only two people actually doing it anyway. So I kind of thought you might have needed your health pass there. I was led to believe that you needed a health pass to get through the airport. But no, just wanted to see your passport. They scan it in, ask you to pull down your mask so they can see your whole face. But yeah, apart from that, pretty much the exact same passport control. Then you go through, get your bags, go through after getting your bags to go get your travels. I don't know where the Disney bus was in this new bit. I think you might have had to cross the road or something to get to the other terminal where we used to fly to. But luckily we had a private taxi booked, which was fantastic. They were there waiting, €60, €120 return. But I mean, it was just a case of like, you're the only people in that car. The driver had a mask on and all that stuff. So it was perfectly fine. And then, so we got in the taxi. Obviously, you know, traveling from the airport to Disneyland Paris is around about 50 minutes to an hour, depending how you're getting there. Ours took about 50 minutes because there is quite a bit of roadworks going on around Charles de Gaulle Airport. I think they're like widening the roads or something. So there was a bit of roadworks. But when you get to your hotel, I don't know if this is going to be the same for every hotel. We stayed at a Disney hotel, Hotel Cheyenne or Cheyenne, however you want to pronounce it. I call it Cheyenne. It was only Cheyenne, Hotel New York and Newport Bay. They were the three that's only open at the moment. Santa Fe opens in October. And then I believe Sequoia is next year and Disneyland Hotel is possibly December. Don't quote me on that. But yeah, there was only three hotels, Disney hotels open. So we stayed at Cheyenne. As we was entering to go past security, obviously, in the taxi, they've now set up like a little one-way system. So the taxi had to go through like this tent thing, and basically there is where you show your health pass. There's people who will scan them on their phones or on the tablets, whatever they're using, and then they give you a colored band which lasts 2 days, to represent that you've obviously been checked and everything's fine. And then after you've been through that little tent thing, it literally took like 5 minutes. He just pulls up, rolls down the window. My mum had all three of our passes, so they just scanned them all three and then gave us three coloured straps or whatever you want to call them. So yeah, once that was done, then they take you to the main entrance. You get out. You can only have one person enter the reception area at all times now. Just one person from your whole family, your party, whatever you want. Only one person can enter. The rest has to wait outside. So we got told to go take our bags to the bag drop-off area where they'll hold your bags for you in the room or whatever. Whilst my mum went and checked in, blah, blah. Because it was so early, it was literally around about, I can't even remember what time it was now. We landed at 9:30, but then we got through, it was about 10. So it was about, once she'd finished checking in and whatnot, it was about 11:15. They just gave us like an envelope with some room keys in there. Obviously the room keys weren't assigned to a room yet because the room wasn't ready. So basically what they said is like, you get your room keys and then all the information will go on to the room key once the room's ready, and we'll just get a text message. So what we did was just dropped our bags off at the bag drop off. They give us tickets, obviously corresponding to where the bags were staying in the building. Then we just went off to the parks, and then about 2:30, they messaged to tell us what the room number was. The first 2 digits are the building number, and then the next 2 is the room number. But yeah, everything was pretty much normal. You will need your health pass as well when you go through security into Disney Village. They check your health pass. They'll scan it all as well. The coloured wristband is literally just for hotels only. That does not guarantee anything to do with getting into the park or getting through security, etc., etc. You still have to show your health pass when you get to security. Still have to obviously put your bags through the scanner and the x-ray machines. It's just the same old, if you've ever been to Disneyland Paris. If you've never been and you're listening to this because you want to go or you're planning on going, basically there's like little huts just after you've left where the hotel bits are to get into Disney Village, which is basically like the marketplace of Disney, Disneyland Paris, where the shops and stuff are just outside the parks. Basically, there's like little huts with x-ray machines and what are they called? Conveyor belts. So you put your bags through and they'll scan them. Yeah, it's literally, I think the longest we've ever waited in all our times going to Disneyland Paris was about 5 minutes with a bit of queue. This trip, there was nobody. We was literally, well, there was one person in one group in front of us, so it's like a minute, if that. It's really quick, really fast. Even the scanning of the health codes, as long as you've got the second QR code ready for the one that says you've had the second jab, just have that. It's literally like they scan it through the camera on the phone on an app. So, yeah. Then every place that you go to really has basically like a track and trace. So hold on, I'll have a look on my phone now. There's an app that you have to download. It's called Anti-COVID. It's basically an app, a French app. And it is literally just like track and trace, like the NHS ad over here. So every place that you go will have this, the QR code by the doorway. So when you enter, you obviously got to scan it on this app. There is usually somebody standing by it to make sure that you have done it. We got caught out once at Earl of Sandwich. Not caught out, but I thought it worked, but it didn't go through on my phone. There was nobody stood there, so I kind of scanned it. I thought it worked, and then we went off to go get the food, but then the guy was like, can we see, etc., etc. So I went onto the app, and there's no actual way of seeing past scannings. So I just went back and did it again. And he was fine. He was like, yeah, no, it's fine. So, yeah, you will have to do that as well in pretty much quite a lot of, well, pretty much every place that you, whilst you're there. Getting into the parks itself is pretty much the same. It's just there is a lot of windingness, shall I say. The way that they've set it out, especially for Magic Hours, which is at 8:30, which is like an hour before the park. The park's open now at 9:30. So it's 8:30, the Magic Hours. Basically, the way that they set it out, they put all these green plastic barriers around. And they kind of like do a swervy type of stuff. I can't really explain it without people seeing it. But it honestly feels like when you look at it, you walk up, you see it, you think, God, that's a long line. But it literally takes like 2 minutes. It's just basically just all the windingness to get to the main parts. And then because we got an annual pass, we just quickly went over to the other side. Once you get round it all, through the queue or whatever it is, there's people there checking to make sure you got an annual pass or a room key, because you can get to the extra magic hours now with just a room key. You don't actually need an annual pass anymore or anything like that. But we just showed our annual pass, and then there's a sign saying annual passports down the bottom end. So we just kind of bootlegged it over to the far end. And there was literally like nobody waiting over that side. Everyone just kind of follows the same crowd and goes towards the main entrance. But yeah, if you got an annual pass, just keep walking straight over to the far side. There's very, very hardly anyone ever there, ever. So yeah, to get into a park, all you literally need is your room key, your ticket, or your annual pass. That's it. You don't need your health pass. Once you've got through security to get to Disney Village, you don't need your health pass again. Unless obviously you're leaving Disney Village. You don't need to show it when you leave. But if you're planning on going back through Disney Village again, you just need it then. So you don't really need a health pass again once you've gotten through security at Disney Village. After that, it's basically just normal Disney. Except obviously you got to wear a mask at all times on Disney property. Now I will say the traveling after you get past security and the walkways to the hotels, I believe that's just personal choice. Like, there was some people wearing it, there was some people not wearing it. We took it off whenever there was nobody around, when it was just us three, just walking by ourselves. We did take it off or pulled the mask down to get a bit of fresh air. It's just basically how you feel at the time. But once you get to security, you need your mask on all times, Disney Village, all times, obviously, to get to parks, to get into the parks. You need it on at all times. Whilst in the parks, there are people that do the same as over here, just wear it as a chin strap until cast members do tell them to, you know, flick it back up. The cast members were pretty good at doing that, at spotting them. But again, once the cast members moved away or out of sight, they just pulled it back down again. It's the same as over here. Some people abide by the rules, some people don't. I don't really see how hard it is to bloody just wear a mask. Yes, it does get hot and sweaty, but that's what timeouts are for. You need to just plan your days, get some food, get snacks, get drinks, and then just have a little chill. That's it, basically. On rides, you have to wear your mask at all times. Whilst we was there, on the Wednesday, I think it was, the 8th, there was something that come online saying that they're now easing some of the restrictions. Only a little bit, not a lot. So now you're able to take off your mask at certain selfie spots. There's green spots on the floor, and that's usually where like photopass photographers ask you to stand to take pictures. They will then ask you to remove your mask, or if you're taking a picture yourself with a character behind, you're allowed to take your mask off. But you have to stand in that spot at all times. Once you've taken the picture, you do need to put your mask straight back on before you're able to step foot off the spot. There is, obviously, with characters, there's always cast members with them. There's always cast members with photo pass photographers, so they will always tell you when to take your mask off and when to put them back on. That was one of the slight changes that happened whilst we was there. We didn't actually do it because obviously we was on like our last day by then. So yeah, that's changed now. There was times that we took pictures with some of the Halloween decorations, and I think my mum took her mask off for some of them, or pulled her mask down, but that was because she was stationary, and as long as you're stationary taking a picture, you're allowed to do it. But yeah. There is supposed to be social distancing in queue lines, but I will not lie to you, only like two people that I've seen that was in a queue behind us were actually doing it. The rest of the times, nobody cared that there was a big blue sticker on the floor saying, do not stand here. Nobody cared. Everyone was doing it. So by the end of it, I think even we started doing it because it was just becoming norm, really. When I was in a queue, I was trying to stick to, like, obviously staying apart. But the people behind us, like I said, only two people that were actually behind us in the whole of the trip did it. The rest of the people didn't, and was literally like right up on your back. So if you're a bit cautious about obviously everything that's going on, yeah, it's probably not for you. But a lot of people do not social distance over there, even though there is massive, and I say massive, there are massive blue stickers on the floor with a circle, with a pair of shoes in it, with a line going through it. Do not stand here. But nobody cares. It's just, like I said, after the first day, we kind of just got used to it. But to me, it was one of them things that I wasn't really too fussed about, because again, I knew that people had to have a health pass or a negative PCR test to get through security and into the parks. So technically everyone in the park should have been double vaccinated or done a negative test. I think for Disney, it has to be a negative test at least 24 hours before. Don't quote me on that, but I just believe that's what it is. Obviously, kids 6 and under do not have to wear masks. And I won't lie to you, there was a lot of kids there that looked older than 6 that weren't wearing a mask. So I think there's just certain rules around that, like you can't challenge them or something. I don't know. It's just, I'm just telling you what I saw and what was going on. But yeah, the main point is that if you're worried about the social distance inside of stuff, and you're a bit apprehensive of like people not adhering to the rules, I will tell you that nobody does. Not well. We tried to, and then by the end of it, we just kind of gave up because nobody else was doing it. There were some people there that were trying to do it as well, but you could kind of tell the people behind them that were doing it kind of was getting agitated because the person in front of them was staying the the meter apart. It's only a meter in Paris. So it's just one of them things. It's either you're trying to adhere to it, and then the people behind you won't do it and just be like proper up against your back because you're not moving forward. Or you just go with the flow and then just follow everyone else basically and don't do it. Either way, the wait times were pretty low all the time. Like Peter Pan was 20 minutes. All 4 days that we was there, it was 20 minutes. I think the highest wait time that was there when we was there was Crush's Coaster, which was 75 minutes, but that's always a long time because they've now got rid of the standby pass or the standby queue line, or I don't know what they were calling it. The one where you got a time slot to come back. But then even with that time slot, when you come back, you still have to wait whatever time it said on the board. So you could have had like a 2 hour time slot, like come back in 2 hours. And then by the time you come back in 2 hours, it still might have been like 65 minutes. So overall, you're waiting like near a 3 and a bit hours. So I think that's the main reason why they got rid of that. It's because a lot of people were complaining. You might as well just stand it out and wait 65 minutes straight off. That's what we ended up doing. We ended up getting in line when it was 65 minutes, but it actually only took 50 minutes. And it went down for 5 minutes whilst we was in the queue. So it would have only took 45 minutes. So, again, the queues look bigger than they actually are because they're supposed to be so, like, some people are socially distancing, some people ain't. But the queues went through quite fast. The longest we waited, apart from Crush's Coaster, because me and mum are the only two that ride Crush's Coaster, my dad always waits outside. The longest queue that we actually waited for, other than that, was, I think, Peter Pan, 20 minutes. And that wasn't like just early morning, because if you've been before and you're listening to this, you know how long Peter Pan queue lines can get during the day. They can go up to like 45, 50 minute waits. But this 20 minutes was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was crazy. Like, I've never seen it that low before, ever. I think at one point, Dumbo had a longer wait than Peter Pan. And Dumbo was like half hour wait. But yeah, most of the queues, or the wait time, shall I say, were always around 10. Well, I say 10. 5 minutes, because certain rides like Small World, Casey Jr., the Storybook Ride, Indiana Jones, usually around 5 minutes. That did go up to like 15, 20 minutes quite a lot whilst we was there. But again, I think that's mainly because they're trying to social distance people in the queues. But yeah. Even Big Thunder Mountain was, I think it didn't go up past 25 minutes at all in the 4 days that we was there. The one day we rode it 2 times in a row, and this was at like 10 o'clock in the morning. It was 5 minute wait. We got off, we went straight back round, and then walked straight back on again. And it wasn't even a 5 minute wait. It was literally like a straight walk on. You just walked through the queue line, got straight to the bottom, and we was there waiting to board the train. It was less than 5 minutes. Phantom Manor was probably the longest queue in the Disneyland park, and that was always around 35 minutes. We went on it when it said 15 minutes, and the queue was like right up to the steps basically. if you kind of know what I mean, there's an extended queue that's never usually open, apart from weekends, but that was all open, and we literally got to the entrance of that bit. And fair play to him, it was literally 15 minutes by the time we got to the door. But then whilst we got inside the room, the manor, it kind of broke for a good 10 or 15 minutes. So we was just literally stood in the room. They've also got little boxes taped on the floor now. So you can only have up to 13 groups of four in this room. Obviously, they're trying to social distance in the room. But yeah, so we ended up waiting in the room. At this point, there was only like six groups in the room because they shut the doors and said, obviously, it's broke. So we got told we could leave if we wanted to, or we could stay. We ended up staying. The cast member there was fantastic. She spoke like three different languages, Spanish, French, and English. Telling us the story of Phantom Manor and whatnot. It was honestly one of the best cast member experience I've ever had. I actually follow her on Instagram, so I messaged her afterwards and said how fantastic we all thought she did. But yeah. But most of the time, Phantom Manor was like 25, 30 minute waits. But that's because obviously, like I said, they can only put in 13 groups of four people at a time. Because obviously the elevator's not that big. You can only social distance so much. So I think that's the main reason why that was quite high. Other than that, everything was pretty much the same. Ratatouille even was like 5-10 minutes most of the days. Tower of Terror obviously was the second longest. It was like 50 minutes all the time. But I think that's because they can only put so many in the ride vehicle at once. Certain rides were filling up all, like Pirates of the Caribbean, filling up all the rows and no plexiglass in between. Small World had plexiglass in between each row, so they were filling up all the rows. But again, it all depends on how you feel at the time. Like me, I knew going in that everyone in that park should have been double vaccinated or had a negative test. Obviously, you don't know about the kids. I believe they're bringing in the health passes for kids now in Paris from the 30th of September, I believe. So every kid has to have a health pass or at least a negative test to go in, which should make it even more safer. Not that it already wasn't, because I haven't heard of any outbreaks happening in and around Disney parks. So yeah, that was obviously the Disney side of things. Not very much social distancing at all. 90% of people that we saw were wearing the mask properly. Some obviously weren't. But again, that's just part and parcel now, because it's the same over here. Not many people were. So, and 2 days before you fly back to the UK, you need to do that antigen test, which is what I mentioned earlier on. We got it through a website. I'm sure it's called c19testing.co.uk. I will leave the link in the description box. Like I said, it costs £29. The test gets delivered to your house, then you just put it in your suitcase, take away with you. We did it as soon as we woke up on the Wednesday, because we was flying back on the Friday. We did it after we showered and everything. Did this antigen test, which was literally just a lateral flow. Basically, the test comes in their own little box. On the box is a unique number, which you need to put into the website to register your test. And then you need to go through the step-by-steps on the website once you've registered your test, it'll tell you step by step what to do. You can't just, like, you know, rip it all open, try and do the test and whatnot. I mean, you could, but you might as well just follow the thing. Like, you got to write the number of what was on your box on your lateral flow plastic tray thing. You need to write it quite clear on there because they expect to see a picture of the result, like, once it's all cleared up, the result, and that number that has to be on your test. You have to take a picture of that to correspond with, obviously, all the information that you've put in. You have to put your passport number and all that stuff because it is, like I said, recognised by NHS and the UK government. So it does, like, go onto your passport, like, when they scan it and stuff. Once you've done it all, yeah, submit it all online. And then, like I said, I'm sure it said it could take up to, like, 4 to 12 hours to get your certificate through on email. But mine literally came through in, like, half hour. By the time we got to the park, walked to the park, got through security, whatever, walked through Disney Village, walked into the park, I had a notification on my phone from my email saying that I've got the certificate through. Basically, once you open it up, it gives you all your information, like your name, your passport number, all this stuff. And then it tells you, like, negative. And then it says underneath, like, how accurate it is. It was, like, 99% accurate. And then it just basically tells you, like, a big list of things, like, it's certified by UK government, blah, 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 blah. All I did was screenshotted that because we wasn't able to get to a printer to print it all off. So I just screenshotted it on my phone. So it's in my pictures. Because you will need that ready for when you go to the airport. And then the day before you're due to fly back, you then need to go onto a UK government website and do a passenger location form, or search it on Google, passenger location form. You need to fill all that out. I did not do mine. My mum did all three of ours while she was sat in bed on the Wednesday night, like, playing on her phone. She did it all then. And then told us on the Thursday that she'd done it. I was like, oh, okay. So I don't actually have any knowledge about what you have to do there, but I assume it was the same as the French one. Basically, just a declaration to declare where you've been, how long you've been there, blah, blah. You do also need to book a PCR test before flying out to Paris. I forgot to mention this earlier. You need to book a PCR test for the second day that you're home. So we came back on the Friday, so we needed to do one on the Sunday. I'm not sure where my mum got the test from. I'm not sure if it's the same website, because they did have, when I quickly looked on it, they did have an antigen kit for holidays, like 2 days before you come back. And then if you scroll down the page, there was like a two-day return PCR test or something, which was around £60, I believe. But yeah, you need to book that, because then you need to have the, I think, the code of that PCR test, and you need to put that on your passenger location form, because then obviously that then corresponds onto your passport. And I'll go into a bit more in a minute about what happens. But yeah, as long as you've done the passenger location form and you've got this antigen certificate, if you want to do it the other way, Buffalo Bills Wild West show, which is no longer there, the building's still there, and they're using that as the PCR or antigen testing site. So what you need to do is book that through Disneyland Paris itself. There should be a link on their website guiding you to how to book it and pay for it. And it's all that. It gives you a time slot then, and then on that day, obviously, you need to go at that time and get it all. And then I believe it's pretty much similar to how I've just explained it for us. You do the test. They put all your information on the computer, and then with your email address, and then they'll send you a copy of a certificate which you need for the airport. So then, yeah. Also, I should point out here, if you are staying longer than 2 days in the Disney hotel, on the second day, you do need to go back to the front of the hotel, where they have the health pass people, you know, with the coloured bands, and you do need to get another coloured band. They have a different colour for every day. It's basically just they scan your health pass again, and then just give you a brand new coloured band. It was one of them things that my dad was like, if they've already scanned it once, why do they need to scan it again? It's like, I don't know, but it's the rules, so you just got to do it. Simple as. But yeah, other than that, that is literally how things work in Disneyland Paris. Okay, wow, I just realised it's like an hour long already. I kind of just thought it's just going to be a quick half hour, to be honest. Right, so you've got the passenger location form, you've got the antigen certificate saying that you're negative, blah, blah. So when you get to the airport then for Paris, ready to come back to the UK, sad times, I know, but it has to be done. When you get to the airport and you go to, like I said, we went with EasyJet, we went to EasyJet. The speedy boarding for EasyJet at Charles de Gaulle were absolute bollocks. It was not speedy at all. I think we were stood in the queue for like 40 minutes, and there was only about six people. I think they were mostly all couples in front of us. There was only six anyway in front of us. But it was not speedy at all. Like, genuine, it was a joke. The normal queue went down way faster than the speedy boarding. I know it was only £12 or whatever, but to call it speedy boarding and like everyone was just stood there. There was a guy behind us that was flying, I think, to Milan, and his flight was due in the next hour, and he was stood behind us like the whole time, and he was like asking people how long was it going to be, etc, etc. There was people in front of us that was flying to Manchester, and their flight was like 40 minutes before it's ready to fly, and they were still stood in the queue. It was just a mess, man. It was just a joke. Like, but once we did get to the front and saw somewhere, checked our bags in, that's when they asked to see your passenger location form and the certificate for the COVID antigen test. And then he wrote on our boarding passes, which we already had printed off, because you can check in up to 30 days before you go and come back. So we did that here. We just printed all the boarding passes off. It was the same three seats that we chose to go out. I chose to come back like to UK. So we just printed them out. So when he looked at the boarding passes, he wrote on there, check documents. So then once we got to the actual, through security, if you've ever been Charles de Gaulle, you know, security's pretty fast there. Like, ridiculously fast. They're always on it. Got through there. Went through passport control. Got to the gate. And it was literally only about an hour before, or 40 minutes before we were ready to board. Because it took so bloody long. But yeah, once we got called up, speedy boarding. They had a speedy boarding lane on the actual gate itself, and we did fly through that, to be fair, to get onto the plane. It literally took like 2 minutes because they held everyone else back who wasn't speedy boarding and got everyone speedy boarding through first to get to the front of the queue to ready to get on the plane. But when they checked your passports and boarding pass and stuff, they checked that and then they saw it said the document's okay, so they didn't need to check it again. So yeah, it's the same principle as leaving the UK. Masks have to be worn at all times. It has to be surgical masks. Get on the plane, same stuff, same spiel. You can only take it off whilst you eat or drink, and then you have to put it straight back on. So skip 50 minutes later, not on the podcast, I mean, but the flight only took 50 minutes. We land in Bristol. Passport control was the self-automated passport ones, you know, where you gotta like hold your passport to the scanner and then it reads your face, takes picture, and then the gates open. So there was literally no like checking of any sort of documentation. It was just that, and then that's it, and then you're back. And then fast forward the day after. No, it was the same day, Friday, but it was like late on at night. I had an email from Track and Trace saying that they've seen that you've just come back into the UK and you have to have a test booked for 2 days in advance, like 2 days later. You have to do a PCR test, blah, blah, blah. But I just assumed you have to have it booked already before you go, because that's what it says on the government website. You have to have the 2 day test booked already for ready for when you come back. But this one just said if you haven't done, you have to book it for 2 days in advance. And then Sunday I had an email come through saying the exact same stuff, like, we've seen that you've recently come back into UK. If you haven't already, please book a PCR test to be done at least 2 days after being back in the country, which coincidentally was that Sunday that I got the email. And we did the test and we sent them off in the post. But the weird thing is, with the 2 day test, the day two test, shall I say, you do not get an email back if it's negative. You will not hear anything at all. So it is now Wednesday, well, nearly Thursday, it's like 10 to 12. And I've not had a single email or phone call or whatever. So that basically means I'm negative. If you're kind of wanting to know that you are negative, you will not know. You will not hear anything. You just have to, yeah, you just carry on as you are. If you're one of those that like to know specifically that you are negative, yeah, you're not gonna, you don't get information. Or at least I haven't had any information at this moment. I even searched online and it says that people don't get told if they're negative. You'll only get told if you're positive. So I'm like, well, that's it. I thought like maybe it's a way that people could cheat the system, but you do get messages off Track and Trace when you return to the UK. So I'm assuming it must obviously be on your passport and stuff. But yeah, that's all the rules. That's all the stuff you need to know. I'm sorry this went on for quite a bit, but it is quite, I feel like I've given enough details, in-depth detail. So if you are planning on going, I'd say go, because at the end of the day, we've all gone quite a long time without being able to travel outside the UK. And in my personal opinion, it's not that much different to how it was before. You just need the odd few little documentations. But as long as you've printed them off and you're well prepared, then everything will be okay and it will be fine. I'm going back in November, as long as obviously the rules and stuff don't change over here. I will be going back in November, and like I said, I think the rules will be in place in France for quite a while. So, yeah, I hope this helps. I hope it helps quite a lot of people. I hope it puts your mind at ease for them certain people that are confused by the he said, she said, this is that, this, that, this, that, that you read online. Like, that's what threw us off at first, because we was like, do we need to have a test done before we fly out? And all this stuff. But turns out you don't, as long as you're double jabbed. So it's like I said, it's just normal. As normal as can be. You just need a few more documentations. You just need to wear a mask all bloody time. Just adhere to the rules and then you will get far. But yeah, thank you very much for listening. Hopefully it took it all in. Hope to hear some feedback. Let me know if you're going or if you've been, and let me know how you thought it was. Let me know how you got on with it all. Until next time, I have been me, you have been you. It's kind of been nice doing this again. Hopefully I'll get back into some sort of regular scheduling. I wouldn't hold my breath for so much content again. It's probably going to be not as much, just every so often. But I'm hoping I'll try and get back to it. But thank you. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking time. Again, I'm sorry it's so long. But yeah. Just let me know how you're getting on. Until next time, please be safe. Please be kind. Please always be respectful to everyone. Treat everyone like how you wish to be treated. Remember, it's nice to be nice. It's always fun to be nice. It's just nice, isn't it? You will get back some kindness from being kind. So, please do. Please look after each other. And I'll speak to you very soon.